Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am Demetrius, and of course, you know me. And today we are going to have a conversation about where data storage is headed. There's obviously lots of things in flux, like artificial intelligence, and there's quite a few automations and innovation that's going on right now. And I have the pleasure of speaking with Gene Lazarevich, and he is the founder of JetStore. So, Gene, welcome to the Gumbo.
Absolutely. Great to be with you, Demetrius. I'm glad finally to be on your podcast.
Absolutely.
I've done a lot of them, and I'm glad to finally be here.
Well, glad to have you here. And give the Gumbo listeners a quick rundown of JetStore.
Absolutely. So JetStore was founded in 1994, July 1994. We actually celebrated 30 years in storage business, which is pretty cool. I think we're one of the longest storage companies running in the world, maybe. I don't know. Well, so we've been doing storage, you know, 30 years. And then we started with 9 gigabyte drives, you know, that are USBs now. So, you know, we've done it all. And now we are shipping 30 terabyte SSDs and 24 terabyte HDDs. So, you know, it's been a long journey, very interesting journey. And, you know, we started, first website was raid.com, you know, which is not many people, you know, had it. You know, we had it for a while, and we actually sold it to the guys that do bug spray. So now our website is jetstore.com, and, you know, we've been doing data storage, you know, that long. And now, you know, we obviously do, you know, all kinds of flash and hybrid and archive systems. And, you know, we work with, you know, we have over 4,000 customers around the world. Actually 60% of UK police even uses us as well. So we have, you know, work as partners. We have our own GSA contract. You know, we work with a lot of universities, et cetera. So been a long journey, very interesting journey, as you can imagine.
Okay. Yeah. I like to really have a conversation about how far data storage has come, because I started around 1999 and I myself have seen a trajectory overall in how data is stored. And so back when I started, tape storage was really huge. So it was disk, you had hard disk drives, magnetic disk, right? And flash wasn't even on the scene. I mean, flash, I can't remember the exact year, but flash was not a thing yet. And you had tapes, and tapes was all the craze, right? Tapes, it's increasing. You have LTO, you have all these different vendors out there. And tape was the theme. Give us your walk down memory lane back from, let's say, the year 2000 to where we are today, as far as some of the innovation that has occurred since then.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all started, you know, obviously with just disk drives, you know, like you said, you know, and then there was the tapes, you know, tapes were around for a very long time. You know, we were doing just a lot of it was what I call DAS, direct attached storage. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously we were doing ID storage, SCSI storage, serial attached storage. And then we got into SAN and NAS, you know, with drives being, you know, basically, like you said, the flash wasn't even there at that time, you know, but now it's kind of prevalent. So, but, you know, before people were just basically storing everything on, you know, there was a server, there was a storage. And there was, you know, backup software with tapes, and then SAN came in, and then virtualization and the cloud, et cetera. So things progressed quite rapidly, as you remember, you know, from, yeah, like about 2010, 2015, and then, you know, past 10 years, you know, it's just exponential growth, you know, and the amount of data is being generated is absolutely insane, you know, because, you know, before people were saying, oh, you know, we actually looked at, we had a customer recently that came to us and they were looking at us from 2008 and we had systems that were 16 terabytes. That was our largest system, 16 terabyte, 20 terabyte.
Yeah.
And now our, you know, average system is 100 terabytes. Wow. So when people come to us and say, well, we need a lot of storage, and they say, well, we need like 20 terabytes. I mean, it's just one drive anymore, right? So, you know, things have really, really propelled into just a kind of, you know, a lot of storage has been generated, a lot of data, a lot of capacity. So, and of course, the way people store data, and a lot of people want to keep data intact, you know, they don't want to delete it, they want to save it. So there's a lot of archival systems that are coming into play. So we get into a lot of very large multi-petabyte archival projects. And you know, we actually found out that it's more economical to keep it in house, so to speak, sort of like on premise or in a data center in a colo. So we've seen a lot of that that's going on is a lot of archival. And because now with AI and machine learning, you know, a lot of data, you know, is being, you know, researched and, you know, analyzed. So, and they have to go back, you know, years and years worth of data. So we've seen a lot of projects that a lot of people are trying to bring the data back on-prem because they need massive, massive chunks of data that's to analyze.
Yeah. And speaking of on-prem, I remember, so this was before virtualization was a thing. And right around the time when VMware stepped on the scene, then storage started going with hyperconverged and also virtualizing storage and more efficiently storing data, et cetera. What is going on with Broadcom and VMware? What are you hearing? Because I've heard some really interesting stories about licensing and cost inflating and all of those. Are you seeing some of those as well? And what are some of the things that you're seeing and hearing around just overall VMware, how it pertains to storage?
Yes, that acquisition was an absolutely, you know, a big, big shift in, you know, virtualization. And it caused a lot of noise, a lot of headache for a lot of our customers as well. Mm. So we have a lot of educational customers, schools, and we've almost every conversation we have about virtualization is around VMware, Broadcom. We have seen customers that are saying 5x, 10x increases in licensing. Mm. We have a lot of customers that are looking to switch from VMware due to those reasons because they just can't basically afford these kind of increases because a lot of our customers are, like I said, educational and government. And we've seen a lot of customers considering using other virtualization platforms. I can mention Hyper-V, definitely by Microsoft, KVM, Proxmox. Proxmox is getting a lot of noise.
I just heard of Proxmox on the last conversation I had with Grade Technology. Not sure if you ever heard of Grade.
Yeah, I have heard of them. I saw your episode. Yeah, with G-Ray. Yep.
Right. So
yeah. So we actually have Proxmox running in the lab. Basically, it's a 3 server cluster with running with JetStor, NAS, and iSCSI units, and it's working quite well. And I can also import all the VMs from VMware. They have a tool, so it's a very smooth transition. You can transition to Proxmox probably within a few days, depending on your environment. Mm-hmm. And we have quite a few customers that are going to Proxmox route. The cost is very inexpensive. In some cases, it's free. But if you want supported version, it's like $100 per VM. So very, very inexpensive Proxmox side. And then you can use just any shared storage. And, you know, we happen to be certified, you know, we're self-certified in the lab, JetStor devices for Proxmox. So we have a lot of customers going from VMware to Proxmox. That's a very easy transition. And also Hyper-V, you know, they've gone a long way, Microsoft. And as you know, there's other solutions like KVM-based solutions. There's, you know, there are a few other solutions. And then, like you mentioned, there is also obviously hyper-converged solutions out there. Well, those are more complex because, you know, then you have storage that is not shared. So you have to buy all new nodes and it's not as smooth transition as I would say. But, you know, for us, it's easier to go to Proxmox or, you know, other like Hyper-V. That's the solutions we've seen. But yes, we've seen a lot of our customers are going to switch probably from VMware. A lot of smaller customers. We have a lot of cloud providers who are telling us that they've seen hundreds and hundreds of customers that are leaving VMware.
Yeah, I think that they are probably slowly starting to realize and make some strategy shifts because the noise, like you said, has been so profound.
Yeah.
So I really hope that they begin to make some changes so they can start trending in the right direction. But I hope it's not
too late because, you know, customers are, you know, very sensitive to these kind of things where, you know, a lot of partners got also cut from the programs and they've increased, like the TAP program cost has increased. So like everything has just went up quite a bit, pretty much doubled for us. Even like that program was doubled the cost.
Wow.
That's just a program that, you know, basically just to get software to test the storage with. And, you know, we've had it at it was like $800, but now it's almost like $1,900. So it just, everything is just doubled for basically the same software. I just don't know. I don't know if it was a good move by them. You know, I don't think it was a good move by them to do that. But I mean, I think their CEO said that he wants to have 600 customers. So that's what he wants to have then. I mean, they're going to lose a lot of customers. So.
Well, I'm sure they're probably going to be listening to this and maybe take this into consideration.
I hope they do.
I also wanted to ask you, now, if a CIO comes to you or a IT director, anyone who is ready to make maybe a new purchase of some type of storage array, and they, how does that conversation go? What are some of the things that they are asking you? I'm sure cost is one, and performance as far as the different workloads and their business critical applications are concerned. So they give you the criteria from their perspective. What are some of the things that they are asking you when they want to make an investment on the storage side?
Yeah, great question. I mean, we have, you know, conversations like this, you know, every day. So CIOs, CTOs, IT managers, infrastructure engineers, infrastructure managers come to us and looking for, you know, affordable, reliable, easy to manage storage. And, you know, we happen to be one of the leaders in flash and hybrid on the market. So a lot of times, you know, they're asking us, you know, how long you've been in business. You know, they're looking for longevity. So we've been around 30 years, you know, we have a dedication to storage. So that's already basically a big attraction to them, that we are very focused on, you know, kind of one thing, which is storage.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other, you know, competitors we have, you know, the big names as you wear, you know, they do everything. They do servers, you know, they do switches, you know, all those things. You know, we do storage only. You know, we are agnostic as far as which server we connect to. We're agnostic as far as which switch we connect to. And we are agnostic which operating system we work with, because we work with pretty much all of them. You know, like I mentioned, you know, VMware, you know, Hyper-V, Proxmox, you know, Windows, Linux, you know, Apple, you name it. We work with them all, you know, because our protocols are standard. You know, it's iSCSI, it's network attached storage, it's fiber channel. So they're looking for that kind of flexibility. They're looking for a company that can offer them a great support, which we do. We have a US-based support, you know, with advanced replacement. You know, we have various models, you know, anywhere from 12 bay to 100 bay. You know, we have hybrid, we have flash, we have all flash. So we can do primary, we can do secondary. You know, we support multiple backup software. I think you're very familiar with that, like Kivo, Commvault. You know, we work with all of the software.
Veritas?
Yeah, Veritas. Yep,
okay.
Absolutely. Yep, Veritas. So we work with, you know, any backup software that's out there. And we're completely agnostic. We support all the protocols. They're looking for, you know, NFS, SMB, SIFS, iSCSI, Fiber Channel. So we have it all. We can upgrade. You know, we can go from, like I said, 12 drives to 100 drives. You know, we can expand. They're looking for, you know, basically ability to grow. You know, how far can you grow? We're going to take from 12 to 100. You know, they want to be able to grow it vertically, horizontally,
scale,
you know,
up, scale out,
scale out, scale up. You know, we have replication, we can do software replication, we can do hardware replication, you know, with various software. We have internal replication, synchronous, asynchronous.
Right.
So, you know, we have snapshots.
Dedupe.
So we have multiple different features that are enterprise features, but at a very affordable cost.
Okay.
So we, you know, we compete very well with, you know, big guys, you know, tier one guys, you know, that are out there, and we've been competing with them for 30 years, which is very impressive.
So do you
impress them?
Yeah. Do you primarily win due to cost?
Yes, we do have a cost advantage. So we tend to win a lot of times on affordability.
You know,
we are very affordable. And, you know, we're able to provide the total cost of ownership, you know, if you break it out to like 5 to 7 to 8 years, because a lot of our customers have been running our jet stores for 10 years. Be amazing. You know, they've been running them and nonstop. And when they have a power supply fail, they call and say, oh, you know, I want to just get me the power supply. I want to run it for another 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to tell people, you know, I think you have to buy something new. I think technology has already been progressing, you know, this right. past 10 years. And they're like, well, it's been so good. You know, we want to keep running it.
Yeah, we would love to just keep changing drives out, but we want to add some more chassis and units and U's and all that good stuff. Yeah. And have you seen or have you started implementing AI within your platform?
Yes, we are actually introducing a product that actually I promised to make an announcement at your show. So we're actually going to introduce a new AI product, AI-based product, which is going to be Gen 4 NVMe to you with ability to expand it with SAS drives. Mm. And it's going to be basically supporting 30 terabyte drives. So we can do 700 terabytes per chassis within 2U. Okay. So it's a brand new product. It's going to be shipping in August. So in about a month. So in about a month, we're going to have a new product, which is going to be available to our customers. You know, they'll be able to run AI workloads. We'll have some AI features in the software with some data analytics. And that's going to be available.
Okay. As far as security is concerned, are you doing some immutable storage and integrating with like object lock and safe mode and all these different types of things to help ransomware at bay, you know, bad actors trying to get access to that data? Do you have any of these features?
Yes, we do. So we actually just partnered with two great companies. One is for storage orchestration. It's called Hammerspace. And we've certified, we just announced our partnership with Hammerspace.
I know Hammerspace.
You know Hammerspace, right? So it's pretty interesting.
Molly. Molly is over there. Shout out to Molly. She's CMO, I think.
So, and, you know, we have our NAS units running with Hammerspace, and they support, you know, the storage orchestration, and they support object. So they can support, you know, object basically and mutable snapshots and, you know, all that security features. And then we also have another partnership with a company called Ragdop Systems. And they make the most secure storage in the world, probably, because the founders are from NSA. They used to work at NSA. So basically we put our block storage behind the Ragdop Systems. And the Ragdop analyzes all the threats, all the, you know, bad actors coming in and everything. So it's a very robust system as far as security goes. It's been used by CIA, FBI, and many hospitals and to support, you know, all the security features that the beyond NIST, the NIST protocol. Right. So that's their big thing. So a great partnership. We just did a big 2 petabyte installation with a major university in New York with Ragdop Systems. We are providing the backend storage for Ragdop Systems, which is like kind of our answer to the security. So if you need like really secure storage, you know, we are basically working with Ragdop Systems, and JetStore is the backend storage. So.
Okay, awesome. And one final question here. If you look into your crystal ball, where do you see storage advancing to within the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years?
Basically, it's going to be more, I think storage is going to be more like a storage platform with more software features where they can analyze, you know, definitely AI included. You know, basically we'll have all kinds of features which will be incorporated embedded in the controllers, in the product itself, where it's becoming more not just a dumb storage, but more like a smart storage. Where there's going to be more analytical features that are coming, they're going to be coming out, you know, out of storage, where we can analyze multiple systems and be able to store, you know, multiple petabytes of storage, because the storage is only going to grow just exponentially. I mean, we've seen 20, 30, 50, 100 petabyte requests from customers. So all that data will have to be analyzed. So storage will keep growing. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of archival systems that are going to be very, very large and very massive.
Okay, great. I appreciate all the insight and some of the best practices that you have provided as well, Gene. So thank you so much for that. And also, before I close, I want to let everyone know about the Backup and Recovery Professionals LinkedIn group. And in that group, it's one that I created several years ago on LinkedIn. There's over 26,000 professionals. So lots of storage, cybersecurity, backup, recovery, even cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. There's so many different people in different levels, right? From your practitioner all the way up to your C-level, is they are having these types of conversations within the group as well. So final shout out.
Absolutely. And I've been a member of that group for a long time, and it's a great group. There's a lot of people, very good discussions in that group, and really appreciate you, creating that group and having, you know, all that community out there. So it's a very, very useful resource that I use myself. And I do have, quite a bit of actually a big following on LinkedIn as well. I have over 32,000 people I follow on LinkedIn. So definitely a big shout out to you as well, and for, doing all this backup and everything. So.
All right. So much success in the future, and congratulations on the new product platform that you're getting ready to roll out.
And we meet. Yep. Gen 4 is coming out, and definitely we'll see you in Atlanta for supercomputing, by the way, at 24. Okay. So in November. So definitely we'll see you in Atlanta, hopefully.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, Gene, thank you so much again for taking time out to have a conversation with us here on Data Protection Gumbo.
Absolutely. Love it. All next time, get me some gumbo.